very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar. Oh,
that one is.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous. Come on, let's go.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 969.
Happy Monday. What's happening?
Just getting comfy, ready for a great week.
Yeah. Is that the mantra you're bringing this week?
Mm-hmm. Going to be a great week.
Going to be a great week.
No, I feel it. Do you feel the energy of it being a good week? We can't both have good weeks, I guess.
Nah. You know, one of us is going to trade in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last week was a big week.
Mm-hmm.
So, this week feels like it big in terms of needing to be active and out and about. So, last Monday, we had a shoot all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm in that vibe of like, well, I don't think I could do that today.
Sure.
Looking back on not. All that hard work, which we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So, that brings a bit of like comfort in that an office day.
Yes.
Is a good day.
That's what they say. That's what you want from a production company. An office day is a good day.
It is. No. I mean, Bodie was up this morning, on the way to school, but on the way to daycare. But he's just started. I think you're rubbing off on him.
Great.
He's always thinking about the future.
Oh, really?
Daddy, what's happening tomorrow? Like.
Yeah.
What's tomorrow? Like, mm-hmm. Doesn't care about today. It's all about what's going on tomorrow.
I'm like, isn't that interesting?
Let's stay present. No, I think he's just worked out how that he can start understanding. Like, and mm-hmm. The next day, what's the next day looking like?
He's just trying to schedule his week, isn't he? Isn't that a fair thing? Especially when you've got someone like you're controlling his schedule.
Well, you got it, man.
He just wants some clarity.
Imagine being in a child's body as an adult, like as where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of control. Like, I even remember feeling as a kid and having school as the routine. And just, I think you either realize that you've got the routine and you just are going with the flow, or you're a kid that ends up just like pushing back on what needs to be done in all those ways. Because it's like not decided upon you. That's why when I left school, year 11, literally felt like I had a backpack of rocks on and I just ditched the backpack.
Yeah. I mean, I was always like the annoying kid that was, you know, we were an early family.
Just leave it there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just an annoying kid. No, I was. But no, very annoying when it came to going to school and getting my shoes on and doing all that sort of thing.
Like the getting up in the morning.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Couldn't, like, what time would you have to get up in the morning? Do you remember?
Oh, I mean, I was lucky. I lived across the road, like literally 20 meters
from my
school.
What was the latest? Do you remember like the latest time you could get up?
Oh, I mean, 8:20 probably.
Yeah. It was 7:50, like 7:50. If I wasn't up by 7:50, we were going to be late.
Yeah. I mean, I was listening to Mike Cannon-Brookes.
Who's that? That's the founder of Atlassian.
Yeah, one of the co-founders of Atlassian.
Uh-huh.
What did Atlassian do? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
That's the funny thing about them. They're a software company, but they're not like... They're one of the biggest software companies in the world. Mm-hmm. I was listening to them on How I Built This with Guy Raz. Mm-hmm. It's fucking great.
Oh, really?
Two Aussie dudes that have founded this juggernaut of a business.
Mm-hmm.
But the joke is that not everyone knew what they do.
Yeah.
It's like this kind of unusual thing where clearly they own a bunch of software and they build
Trello,
software.
Don't they?
Slack and they don't own Slack.
No.
But they... they're huge, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, one of them, Mike, went to boarding school as a kid.
They had HipChat, I think it's HipChat. Like, they had like a chat, so like an IM sort of thing.
Giro. Like all these applications I've never... Giro. Never heard of. Mm-hmm. But they're doing so well.
Yeah, a lot of them's like related to like developing software.
Yeah.
So, it's like, how do you keep track of all the changes you've got to make or like internal systems?
Which is probably obscure. That's why it does it. It's not like hip like a Facebook or a...
But all companies like need software to run.
Yeah.
And so, what'd you learn off him?
No, but he went to boarding school as like a young kid in England. Like, so he's over there and he flew home four times a year. It talks about how he got his first laptop by accumulating points... flying home to...
It's like a rich kid?
Well, I don't know.
If you're accumulating frequent flyer points as a child,
yeah,
you're doing okay.
Yeah. I mean, definitely wasn't sold in as like he was a poor kid. But, mm-hmm. I mean, going to boarding school costs a bunch of cash anyway.
Yeah.
But the one way of looking at it is boarding school, like you've got an expense having a child at home anyway. Like if we were to break down what on a spreadsheet what Bodie's expenses were, and then you go, well, a fee for a boarding school, which is every day, food, a comm, all of that, it ends up.
Well, what you're describing here is the reason why people do all-inclusive Cancun trips.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah,
it's like, look, you can
take the guesswork out of it.
Yeah, drink as much as you want, piss in the pool, and then go home a few times a year.
But I mean, boarding school is a lot more foreign nowadays than it once was.
Mm-hmm.
My auntie went to boarding school.
And so, the idea is for the entirety of your schooling, you were somewhere else and you're living in that whole environment?
Yeah. I mean, that's a learning curve for a kid. I think I was threatened. You're off to boarding school as a kid. You know, just too much for me, parents.
My brothers were. I was never threatened with that. I don't know why.
Didn't you?
No, I just like I probably would have at the time.
It was adoption for you.
I would have liked the naughty boys' home was the big one. Mum would find the shitter's house in a neighborhood, Doveton, which was near, like next door to us.
Yeah,
and she would drive around Doveton. And she'd find the shittest house and she'd say, that is the naughty boy's home.
Really?
If you keep being a little shit, you're going there.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I think it would really shape, like, the kid. I guess it takes away, like, the family dynamic or definitely change. Like, I don't know how... Do you think that kids that go to boarding school would have a warm relationship with their family?
I hope so. Like, I know Rupert Ballinger, who we've had on this show, he lived in remote Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
And the schooling that is required or the schooling that you may want for your child isn't in remote Queensland. It's in Brisbane. And so,
That's very different than living in the city where you've got many options that you could send your kid.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. It's a decision that definitely shapes a person in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like any situation shapes a parent. So, I think like Bodie's saying on the way to school today, on the way to daycare, like, oh, can we go and do this? And I was just thinking, imagine if there was a... Like, there's something in the friction of not being able to do everything that you want in life that gives you a perspective on your situation and then where you want to get to, right?
Well, it's grit, I think. Like, if everything's easier, it ends up backfiring, I think.
But I think we end up wanting... So, you know, think about the times that the amount of people out there would be thinking about if I won Tats Lotto, what I could do. You know, it's just like drop out the equation of... needing to do something that you don't necessarily want to do. There's a lot of people doing shit that they do not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard bit is finding perspective, looking at that thing and thinking that's actually serving progression.
Yeah.
Mind you, not everyone progresses though.
Mm-hmm.
They get stuck in the thing that they don't want to do.
Well, some people can't live as an adult where they grew up.
Yeah.
Like it feels like they're not making progress. But other people live in the same place that they grew up and are super happy and content.
Mm.
I saw that Bodie rode his bike for the first time without training wheels.
Yeah. So we've gone from balance bike to a bike with no training wheels, which I think is the reason for balance bikes. Which
so,
is
balance bikes, no pedals.
Just use your feet on the ground, but then you can like, it's got a little platform for your feet to hold up on when you get enough momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they've learned balance.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know what pedals really do or are. And so, now he's getting there. But we were given a bike from our neighbors, one that my friend's kid learned on. And so, now Bodie's got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking great. It was great.
And so, do you go to a car park? It looked like you were in an open space.
Yeah, I saw this car park. People use it for dog training. People use it for... I mean, it's not good shitting on the concrete if you're a dog. I mean, Bodie shat on the concrete, but that's another story. No, I don't know. It's like a fenced-off car park that I just thought, that's great. Like, he can learn on that solid
feels like the sort of environment where my dad would take his drag cars to get some sick photos.
Yes.
You know, like his mates fucking got the 35mm camera stuff. He's getting really nice shots. You know, the day's perfect. That's fucking polished it up, taking the hot rod out, getting on the angles, potentially even let's get a rainy day where they've got like the water so you get the reflection. I can imagine now they're using, LED lights, some NAND lights hidden in the...
People pour water onto the ground to get like that shot. So you hold your phone down close.
Yeah.
You get the reflection of the car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's a lot of effort.
And so, Bodie, how many rides did he get where he was
before he balanced? Was bored? No, he's straight off the mark balanced. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about the balance bike. It's just the feet learning how to pedal and understanding that you can't push back.
Yeah.
Because it will break the bike.
Mm-hmm.
As in, it would put the brakes on.
Yeah.
Like, we've done it around the backyard, but our grass is really thick, and so there's, like, no real chance of him getting a nice coast happening. Mm-hmm. But he learnt it.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. Last week, we were working with Matt Diavella on a new video that's coming out on his channel in a week and a half.
You excited?
I am. I mean,
it's a hit piece.
Well, so Diavella, he does productivity or, like, self-development sort of stuff, like, very much self-development. But then he puts sketches throughout his video. So, he'll have funny moments, especially with him and his wife, Nat. They'll do, funny shit in the videos. And so, he was enjoying doing a bunch of sketches. I think we filmed more sketches than what we did actual content.
Yeah. Is that because...
we've got nothing to say. No, but what I realized is how bad I am at acting.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think I reckon there'd be a way to get you going that gets you really great, but it's not when you say action and here's your line.
Yeah.
There's a version of you, overthink the fucking line and next minute you're like
having some robot experience.
But that's not saying you're bad. There is a way to do it where it's like if you just didn't know the camera was on, if you were just filmed in everyday life without knowing you were being filmed.
Yeah. It's the guy who's funny, but then he's like, I'm going to write a bit, and he's completely unfunny. So, I wonder if there's some sort of class that I could take. I was thinking, like, acting that I could try and... So, there was just this one scene that Diavella was trying to get where he's filming, and he wants me to realize the camera. I've said something. He wants me to realize the camera's there and then sort of look away. And he laughed, and I thought... He fucking found that very funny. This went very well. And he was just like, you are so bad at this. And so, I find it very hard to not go pantomime.
To try and look at the
camera and make it feel natural.
I mean, that's been your feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not make something pantomime. But maybe it's your fear because you know that you'll become pantomime.
I just can't act.
Put a camera on a kid and then they start being silly or like doing clearly shit, playing up for the camera. That may be the version.
Maybe that's like the writing because when we're sitting around, we're in hysterics coming up with ideas.
Mm.
And then it's like, okay, Josh, can you perform them? And it's, I fall apart.
Yeah. But what is it? I mean, most people... put a camera in front of them, they fall apart. You cannot, it's very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very unusual being if all of a sudden there's a camera on you and you don't start
changing
or understanding how you're appearing, which is the thought, like there's a thought, which I know I've had times where I'm connecting with what I'm saying and I've dropped that a little bit. But think about fucking Tom Cruise, the guy who's been acting for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Just how seamless. I mean, every film that has Tom Cruise in it is a version of Tom Cruise. Like you end up, these people work out how to do a version of themselves in this acting format, which that's why it's hard.
Yeah.
People train for years, go to school, for a long time. But I mean, what do you want out of it? If you were to land a deal today,
it's just a basic thing. It's just like I had to pretend like I was on a FaceTime call and you and Diva kept saying, mate, you're not looking at the screen.
It's because your phone's here, you're looking out there.
I feel like when I'm on a FaceTime call, I'm trying to be natural. And so natural, I'm not looking at the FaceTime the whole time.
But it's like,
can we just do one where you're looking at the screen? And so anyway, I think it will be fun. It comes out in a week and a half.
There's something about making something with a professional like Matt and us not understanding how it's going to come out, but just going through that experience, because this is what we send people through
exactly
with our production company. A lot of the time people are scratching their head saying, I don't know. What's this for? What's this bit for? Or where's this going
to
go?
Well, I literally said to him, I'm like, make sure you edit this funny, you know? I don't want to, like, pick my best bit. But I took him to the Great Ocean Road, the 12 Apostles, which is the classic Josh Jansen experience.
Yeah.
Nearly ran out of petrol.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. Not only so fucking close. Great Ocean Road.
Well, so, you know, get to Apollo Bay. It's like an hour and a bit out of from where the 12 Apostles are. And I just assumed that for an hour and 15 minutes, there's going to be a petrol station. And so I looked and it was like 93 kilometers to get to the 12 Apostles and 96 kilometers of petrol. Like, this is perfect.
You got three spare.
Yeah, like when we were like half an hour out and we hadn't seen a petrol station, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to put one in. My phone pulled over, put one in. And then, as we got to the petrol station, it was like a little hill and you drive up it. All that was there was a bus stop.
Oh, no.
No petrol station. And so, Diavella is just like, he's like laughing, but like could turn into a cry. Like, and Nat had gone to the bathroom because the bus stop, there was like a toilet or whatever. And he's just like, oh. I can't believe it. Like, this is so avoidable. Like, I can't believe it. So, he's walking out. I was like, I'm like, okay, well, maybe what we'll do is, because I've run out of petrol before, you contact a roadside assistance, which is RACV, which we pay for, and they'll just fill up the car.
Which, when you're in the city, there's a bunch of them cruising around ready to take a call.
And it's free. And so, I did-
Well, you pay for the membership.
Yeah, you pay for the membership. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so- I had said, it's going to be fine. What we'll do is once we get to the 12 Apostles, I'll just call RACV, get them to come, and they can fill up whilst we're enjoying that. And so, we made it to the 12 Apostles, and then I remembered, I was I realized, you know what? Just like if you're a pilot and you have passengers, if you're going to go down, you're not having the conversation with the passengers. You know what I mean? So, I spoke to my co-pilot, Breen. I was like, hey, I was just thinking, I don't think RACV will come here for free, because I think I remember that it has to be within like 100-kilometer radius or whatever of your house.
Okay.
Yeah. And if it's outside of that, you're paying and all that sort of thing. It's going to take a while. So, I'm like, I think if we've learned anything about all that whole petrol thing, it'd been blinking for a long time. Like, it'd been the petrol light. Like, DVL is like, I've never seen it blink. And flashing. Hell. And it's like, we're 20 Ks out of the 12 Apostles. So, we get there and, you know, I had that conversation with Bree. I'm like, let's just risk it. It's 10 kilometers to the next town that has petrol. And so, let's just do it. And so, every moment we got, I chucked it into neutral.
Yeah, yeah.
And was just rolling. And I think that in the grand scheme of things, nearly running out of petrol made the whole road trip. Like, how grateful do you become for petrol when you nearly run out?
Yeah, very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've rolled into a petrol station with it, like, stalling before. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but- If this story ended with you running out of petrol and waiting for 4 hours on the Great Ocean Road,
yes,
it would have been a nightmare.
Well, it would have been I kept saying, it's a funny story, isn't it? It's a funny story. And I had my torch. So, if it got dark,
we
had a torch. And so, it would have been a fun adventure. And the thing is, because the Great Ocean Road, it's sort of like the Pacific Highway or something. It's very sort of windy, beautiful. But once you go from Apollo Bay to the 12 Apostles, it's going more sort of inland. It's like the Otway Ranges. It's actually where 3D Dill got lost and had to hitchhike. But, you know, it did make me like just like the Grampians, where I was like, you know what, never, like, there's a lesson. I'm always going to bring enough water, stay hydrated. There was definitely a lesson of plan out your petrol. Where are you going to get the petrol from?
It is a good point because mm-hmm. it's not close. Great Ocean Road or the 12 Apostles is hours and hours and mm-hmm. hours.
Yeah.
So your car can only last maybe 4 hours max. Did you not leave with a full tank?
I had a quarter of a tank.
So it went from Melbourne.
Yeah. So it did pretty well.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So it was but like, that's on you, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I thought like I would just get it very... It's one of those things where it's you... Yeah, I don't know what happened.
What happens if you have an electric car? Like, can you do day trips like
we're
this?
We're talking about this. We'll say like Diavella reckons that if we were in a Tesla, it would have just like started driving to a petrol station.
Yeah, taken over.
It's like the drones. It's like it can't actually go any further.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Return to home function.
Yes. But I did think that. I was like, you know, if this was a Tesla,
yeah,
I would be thinking about things very differently. Like you've really like baking in your entire experience around where are you going to stop?
Well, there's a station halfway between Sydney and Melbourne mm-hmm. that is a Tesla
charge
station. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you'd have to just fully charge, get to there and then get to Sydney fully charged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't quite know. I'm not in that world to have to think about this
yet. Interesting. Like Jack Post has a Tesla.
Nice.
And you have to like you can. There's different types of chargers. Like there's the ones that you've got like that's a lot slower, or there's the Tesla supercharge type units. And there's only so he had an app where he would open it up and say, "Oh, there's one at this shopping center." And so you end up sort of like, but you pay. So the way that it works is like you put it in, you plug it in, and then it like connects to your account, and it will auto debit.
Like
from your phone or whatever, but
it is quite
quick.
Yeah, I mean it's like the quick charges for your iPhones and
things
like that. Last night I was watching. Have you heard of this guy? That Was Epic on YouTube.
No,
I mean how many? What I love about YouTube is that you just find these people that are living some life that's not your own.
Mm-hmm.
Not even flashy is what I'm talking about. Just like. They're very popular, but somehow you never heard of them.
Yeah.
But I think the popularity ends up drawing you into them.
How would you describe, because I think this is interesting, how would you describe what this person does? Like if you were introducing them to someone, what do they do?
So, a YouTuber, but they-
No, this person.
Okay, they are a reformed prankster.
So, they had a prank YouTube channel and
but
now-
But they've now become- It's almost like prank, but positive kind. Pranks.
Yeah, I hate
positive
them.
Pranks.
I hate them more than just the classic pranks. It's like the cutting of the ear pods.
This is that guy.
I hate that.
This
shit.
Is him.
No.
This is him, Juan.
Yeah,
Juan. He that video that he has where he cuts people's headphones
and then gives them AirPod Max.
AirPods. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That has like 40 or 50 million views. But then he's doing stuff like, start of the year, 2021, he was giving people $2,021 and just going around for a day.
Mm-hmm.
He probably did it like six times. And these people, like you, which at that point, I really liked it when someone really needed it and they were like just blown away, just could not believe it. But there's something like he's literally just, it is putting a prank channel to good use.
Mm-hmm.
You are making money. There was one where he Venmo, American sort of money transfer system.
Yeah.
What would it be? Like NetBank for us. It's like, can I have your pay ID, which I could send your mobile number money from my bank account if you've got it set up. Venmo is a similar thing, just a different. Is that it?
It's like PayPal essentially, but it's like on your phone and it's very easy. One of the interesting things is I think that there's a social element, so you can actually see what people are transferring to each other as well.
Yeah. So he goes up and says, can I have your Venmo? Just to random people, and then transfers them $100.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something weird about like that. You can see. He did mention that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people love it.
Mm.
It is a bit weird though.
Yeah. No, the positive prank thing, I see the appeal, but then I imagine if – like he's playing with scissors close to your face – Do you know what I mean? Like this is harmless. I'm going to cut. Like if a stranger came up to me with scissors,
you're jumpy Josh.
Yeah, yeah. But you're, also, you're I've been turning. Watching Active Defense. I would disarm him and lodge the
torch up his ass.
No. Like, I would use the scissors on him. But that's the risk, isn't it? Like, I think it's pretty dangerous to go up. And he even just, like, goes up to a chick who's with her friends and he just grabs her AirPod out.
Yeah.
And I'm just okay, so what I don't like about it is what you're saying is that if you get in my personal space, you'll give me this. But it's not an agreed upon thing. So it's like, no, hang on. If you said, hey, I am going to get into your personal space and I'll give you AirPod Max, I'll still tell you to fuck off.
Yeah.
And so
if he came up to you and cut your AirPod, no, your
earpods. Yes.
You went from AirPod Maxes to.
No, I went for AirPod Pros. Yeah, yeah. The Maxes are the over ear things.
Oh, yeah. So you went back to the cord ones because you didn't like the wireless ones.
Yes. And so do you know what I mean? Like, it's very presumptuous to think that, oh, like, this gives me permission to do this thing.
I wonder how many you don't see where there is someone pushing back like that.
Mm-hmm.
I could imagine that's the case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is. I just got stuck in this whole watching it, trying to understand his whole channel.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he getting that money from?
What other sort of things is he doing?
Stimulus check. Americans, mm-hmm. a lot of them didn't receive it. It was like $1,200. He's going around asking people, have you got your stimulus check?
Mm-hmm.
And then giving them $1,200 or knocking on a front door and saying, I'm moving into the area. How much do you pay for rent here? And they're like, $1,000 a month, $950. Mm-hmm. And then he pays a month's rent, which was kind of nice. These people were so blown away.
And so is it content that you're seeking out? Like,
I don't know how the fuck I found Juan.
Do you feel like you want to watch more of them? Like, are you like, oh, I want to click through and watch more?
I did. And I did look at his channel. Mm-hmm. And then you scroll far back enough and then you start seeing some negative pranks. I'm like, he's a reform pranker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the stuff up front where he's starting to make a bit of money. But if you had to go through pranking people, making people not feel good to then get money to then give back. Not the best.
Well, this is the Mr. Beast model, isn't it?
What in what way? Like,
he uses, so he's getting so much money from channel, like from his channel, that he can do things like reinvest, which then it's sort of this cycle where it's like, okay, I can spend $1 million on this high stakes video because I know it's going to be seen by X amount of people.
Yeah.
You know, he bought an island. He would do things like, the most expensive meals in different places or whatever. So it's like, and the funny thing with the expensive food, it gets to a point where it's like, you know what? Like, there's nothing more we can do with this chicken. So all they do is add gold leaf to it.
Like, the whole thing's in gold.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? It's actually $20 worth of chicken and they've just gotten some gold leaf and just put it on. Like, it is like, what is gold leaf taste like? Is gold leaf, is that tasty?
Well, there's the guy Salt Bay. You know, the guy, I don't know his name, but he has a bunch of restaurants in, I think, Dubai. And he does these huge bits of steak, but he now does them in gold leaf. I don't know. I mean, you've got to be pooing gold.
Yes.
At that point.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to me. I've got a recommendation of a guy you should check out, Mr. Taster.
Mr. Taster.
So, he lives in Iran. And he does all Persian food and he's had...
In holes and shit? Like, does he dig holes and build like fire, like
So he's going to like restaurants and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And it's amazing. But he's done a couple of videos. If you type in Mr. Taster on YouTube, you'll see that he's done some tours for some people who have come to Iran and he'll take them to all the different places. Great. He's got real crazy hair. He's sort of like balding, but then at the back, it's sort of like all big.
He's keeping it.
Yeah, yeah. He's got one circular.
It was his like, Kramer.
He's got one, like with his glasses, one of them circular, the other was square. It's like, great. Yeah, yeah.
That is kooky.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. But he,
Do you like those glasses?
I could imagine one day getting them, yeah. I'll have a similar hairstyle, so why not? yeah, very good. Well,
happy Monday.
I think it's going to be a very good week.
Oh, it's going to be a great week.
It really does feel that way. It's all in the mindset, you know.
Well,
I was very negative last week, but I think that what I've learned is doing stuff, even like doing some work on the weekend, like I'd been so adamant, I'm not doing any work on the weekend. Actually doing work on the weekend made me feel good.
Why?
I think it's just because it's like...
Was it stuff that you hadn't done?
No, it was just stuff that had been sitting with me where it's like, oh, I need to get back to this or that, or I need to do. And so just sitting down and doing it, it actually makes me feel better. So I think, like, I remember being a kid, like, it was common, like, my dad would work 6 days a week. He would work every Saturday. I think that's pretty common, like, you know, for parents to work 6 days, like, their job requires them to work like a half day where they're like, oh yeah, we start at 9 and finish at 1 or whatever it is. And I was like, geez, I've gotten a bit soft around Saturdays. And so there is something
you've
around.
Always been pretty soft around Saturdays. Mm-hmm. In saying that, you're the dude who is so soft around Saturdays in your comms, but fuck, do I get emails from you on a Saturday with updates
or
whole things that you've been working at. Like, you say you're not working, or you say we don't want to do that, but you put in a solid.
Well, I'm always thinking, and and so the thing is, what I'd like to do is, I think, actually formalize it in some way where it's like, you know,
we're
what?
We're going,
like,
6 days. You're working 6 days.
No, I think it's just the, like, so I, like, whenever I'm working on the weekend, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. But it feels good. And so the thing, I think that I like the idea of, because my favorite type of work is on my own at my computer going through bits and pieces. But when you're like, when you've got a team and you're, you know, doing productions, you don't get, like, you're going from meeting to meeting, from call, like, it doesn't have, you don't have the control of your time. Like, I know, I get why people get into the office at like 7 because they're like, you know what, I can just get 2 hours of my own time where I can do my thing before the rest of the day will just be completely taken over. And I think it's unrealistic for me to think that I can do that 7 thing at 9 a.m.
Definitely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mate, I'm totally with you. You feel like you can get ahead on a weekend.
Yeah. So maybe, like, the thing is, maybe because we're still good at not doing crazy hours. Like, we're like, I think that if I was just to open it up a little bit, because I feel like I have gotten into, I went from being a freelancer where it was very, like, wouldn't work all day and would start work at 9 p.m. and then would work through the night or things like that. And so, I've gone the other way now where it's like, I'm a 9-to-5, like, try and have that structure.
Yeah.
But then you get to the end of the day, it's like, oh, fuck, I haven't done all these things. And then so, it's like, oh, I'll do it the next day. And then you get in at 9 and then other things come up. And so, yeah, there is something in even the 7 p.m., email sesh is nice. Just opening your laptop at 7 p.m. just being like, it's going to punch out this stuff. So, it's done. So, it starts. I even went through, you know, you saw my iMessages. I had 60-something messages.
Oh, that notification. That was scary. my advice to you was just open them and forget
about
them.
That's what
them.
I did.
Oh, good.
So, I went through.
Because if they've been there for a while, they've already been forgotten about.
Yes.
But you have the anxious. Yeah. Fucking someone tapping on your shoulder and you turn around and you don't know who it is.
Instagram DMs did the same thing, went through to the point where it's zeroed out.
Yeah.
And so, I'm at a, like, what feels very good right now is I'm, you know, I've gotten back to the emails I need to get back to. Like, I'm in a good spot. And so, if I can just, it's that whole thing is like, if you are doing inbox zero as you go, if you're archiving as you go, it's very easy. But I notice that even if I give it a few days, it gets crazy really quick.
Yeah. Well, that's email. You got to constantly be attending to it.
Yeah. Another great book recommendation, Dale Carnegie's How to Stop Worrying. It's been a favorite of mine for many years, but I'm just like, if you're feeling a little bit out of control, put it in, listen.
What's one way to stop worrying other than deciding?
Couldn't even tell you. But the thing is that it's just like in the moment going to bed, that just the unconscious just sort of thing, it helps.
Meaning listening to it?
Yeah. Just listening to it or whatever because it just so if you think about.
But then you don't know what's been said in it.
No. So, I'm not falling it. Like, I'm listening and I'm hearing it all. I just can't. So, the thing, but it's just but it is more the unconscious mind. Not in regards to you're not listening, but if you think about like the unconscious mind around like social media. So, when you're on social media and you're scrolling, you're unconsciously thinking and connecting all these dots. And so, just by having the unconscious thing being you know, you don't need to worry. Every chapter
actively pursuing a state of not worrying versus mindlessly scrolling through Juan's content.
Yes. Yeah.
Fuck Juan.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
But so there is, I enjoy that sort of passive. I think that's what podcasts are for a lot of people. Yeah. It's like the passive listening. And yeah, maybe it doesn't have the same effect as active listening, but just have it, like, think about the space around you and how that affects things and impacts things. And
music. About the difference if you're listening to intense hard rock or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus something melodic.
Yeah.
I mean, just chill.
I've been listening to a lot of violins.
Yeah. How's that doing?
It's very good. There's a...
what's it doing for you?
There's a band. It's, well, just like... it's good for writing because it's...
background
instrumental
music.
Instrumental stuff. You're not having to worry about singing, but it's all the songs you know and love.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they're covers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Done in with violins.
It's all violin rather than singing. It's very good.
Like a flute.
Yeah.
That instrument you gave.
So it's called a kazoo.
A kazoo. It literally sounded like a kazoo.
I'll tell you what it's called. I'm just going to go into my Apple Music before we head, so you can all listen to it. It is called. Actually, I'll go on my. What are you listening to?
God, I don't even know. As in a podcast or
music?
Music. What am I listening to? Ah, it depends. Travis Scott.
Vitamin String Quartet. That's what it's called. Guys, listen to this now. Vitamin, V-I-T-A-M-I-N.
Yep.
String Quartet. Q-U-A-R-T-E-T. And they do all the covers. So, they do a song that Bree and I... home to... Maybe it's a... it's called Home. If you just search Home, they when we're in Italy and we were like entering a medieval town that we're staying, we had that going. And it's like you're going in, it feels like beautiful. So anyway.
There is one thing about humming something if you can't, like we can't sing.
Yes. But you can't even remember.
When you hum something,
yes.
It sounds perfect in your head.
Did not sound good.
Well, I can't gauge what the fuck the song is.
Yeah, sure.
But it's amazing how when you do it, it's clear in your own mind.
Well, the problem is I think that it's got the same, feels like home to me, feels like home to me, but I don't think it's that song.
Okay.
Home.
All right, let's pump it in the office.
Yeah. I can't play it now because we'll get taken down. Copyright. But type in home and then that band that I just mentioned.
Quartet.
Vitamin. Something quartet. Vitamin String Quartet.
Yeah,
is that what I said?
I don't know.
It was because I spelt the others. Vitamin String Quartet. Check it out. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Have a good week. Love you.
Bye. We'll see you tomorrow, though.
And the next day.
Mm-hmm. All week.
See ya.
Bye.